Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we begin a brand new book of the Bible. We're going to begin a study today in the book of Romans, the great doctrinal book of Romans. The main theme of this book, salvation by faith and our Christian duties as a result of that salvation. Father, we ask that you would bless our study in this book, that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the Apostle Paul wrote this book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's begin in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Paul was handpicked by Jesus Christ to be an apostle. And he was also chosen by the Holy Spirit to write more of the New Testament than any other writer. But Paul didn't get a big head. As far as he was concerned, he was just a servant. And I think that's what made him such a great Christian and such a great servant of God, is because he saw himself as a servant. Jesus uses Christians who have a servant's heart and a servant's attitude, and that certainly was Paul. Verse 2, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. God promised way back in the Old Testament that he would send a Savior to free mankind from his sin. Verse 2 and 3 together, it says, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. Jesus is one person with two natures. He has a human nature and he has a divine nature. And he's not 50-50. This is what boggles our minds because we can't grasp it. But the fact is, Jesus is 100% God. He is 100% man. He is fully man, fully God. And when you talk about his human nature, well, that came from the royal line of David down through his mother Mary, which is why he has a right to the throne of Israel. He's right to be king of Israel. Verse 4. And who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the Father's way of saying, Jesus is my Son, and don't anybody doubt it. He didn't do that for anybody else. God the Father did not raise any other so-called religious leader who began a new religion, who claimed to be the Messiah or God or something like that. He didn't raise any of them from the dead, but he did raise Jesus from the dead, just as Jesus predicted would happen, by the way. 5. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Obedience comes from faith. Trying to obey God without putting your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation is a waste of time. He doesn't accept those works. You don't climb a ladder to salvation by doing good works. First, you put your faith in the cross of Jesus Christ, which paid for your sins, and then you live out your faith with good works. That's the way it needs to be. That's the description of somebody who is saved. Verse 6. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. If you belong to Jesus Christ because you put your faith and your trust in his death on the cross for your forgiveness, then it is that way because God called you to be one of his people. What a tremendous privilege. Think about that. God wanted you. And that's why you felt the need to trust Christ, and that's why you are trusting Christ. It's because God wanted you. 7. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to be saints. Christians are called to be saints. A saint is someone who has repented of their sins and asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. That's all a saint is. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. The Roman Christians lived for Jesus so much that anyone who ever heard of them heard they had faith in Christ also. You just couldn't separate the two things. They were not ashamed to be connected to Jesus Christ. Verse 9. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. You know, he says here in verse 10, or I should say in verse 9, God, whom I serve with my whole heart. God deserves total dedication from Christians. He doesn't demand perfection from us in order to be saved, but he sure does deserve perfection from Christians. We should want to be perfect for him. 10. In my prayers at all time. Well, let's read 9 along with it. It kind of flows together. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, he says, that the way may be open for me to come to you. He wanted to come to them, but only in God's will. See, it doesn't matter how badly we may want something. If it isn't God's will, then we shouldn't try to force it. We make a huge mistake by doing that. Because if we force it, we're going to be in trouble when we get it. Our first choice will be bad news if we rebel against God in order to get it. Verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. If a Christian is under the control of the Holy Spirit, as they should be, then they're going to have a positive effect on other Christians. That's why good Christians like to be around other good Christians, because they make them better Christians. Verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. You know, he says, I've been prevented. And the thing that he wanted was a good thing. But sometimes the good things that we want to do only happen after a struggle. Sometimes we have to wait and be very patient. Because just because something is right doesn't mean that you won't have to persevere before you're able to do it or get it. If something is right, it's worth enduring hard times and disappointment to make happen too. Verse 14. I am obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. And that's because everyone should have the opportunity to hear the offer of salvation, which comes from God to them through the Savior Jesus Christ. God wants everybody to hear that, so that's why we as Christians should feel obligated to get out the word of God. 15. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. There's something wrong with a Christian who isn't eager to use the word of God to spread the message of Jesus Christ. There is something wrong with a Christian who isn't eager to see the word of God spread so that lost souls can be saved. You know what has happened to that Christian? Worldliness has taken control of their soul in place of the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul, he was eager to get the word of God over to Rome and any place else, 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. Our own power can't save us from hell. Our own power can't save anybody else from hell either. We need the power of God. We need God's power to deliver us from God's justice, which condemns us because of our sin. The death of Jesus Christ paid for our sins. Salvation is a gift given to all who will repent and put their faith in what Christ has accomplished and receive Him as Lord and Savior. 17. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. See, nothing less than the righteousness of God will do. We need the righteousness of God. We need that level of perfect righteousness. That's what we need to get into heaven. The bad news is, none of us are that good. That's the bad news. The good news is, Jesus is that good because He is God. And the even better news is that Jesus credits our spiritual accounts with His righteousness when we receive Him as Lord and Savior. That's how sinners are saved. And that's the only plan that God has given us. And it works great. 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. The wrath of God is being revealed. God is a sin-hating, sin-punishing God. Oh, He wants to show people mercy. He offers forgiveness to everyone. But if His offer of salvation through Jesus Christ is rejected, then He will do what He must do. He will do what His just character demands that He does. He will punish. When a person suppresses the command of God to repent because they love their sin, they are digging their own eternal fiery grave. 18 and 19. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. God would not punish people if they were not guilty. God has no pleasure in punishing the wicked. So, 19 and 20, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. People, all people, have an inner witness which tells them, there is a God. A God who loves right, a God who hates wrong, and a God who we are going to answer to. Everybody has that inner conviction. Now, of course, that inner conviction, that inner witness, can be suppressed by willful rejection of God over time, but it was there at one point, and that's why God says you're without excuse, because if you would have responded in the correct way to that inner conviction, then God would have eventually led you to the truth, enough truth to be saved through Jesus Christ. That's why people are without excuse. People don't go to hell because they've never heard about Jesus. People go to hell because they don't care about living up to the light that they have and they're not hungering for truth. 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Boy, when one turns away from the truth about God that they know is true, you know what they're going to do? They're going to soon accept something that is false. People have to believe something. So if they don't believe the truth, then by default they're going to believe a lie. And God labels that futile thinking. It's futile. It's empty. It's void of substance. It doesn't lead to anything good, only bad. 22. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They claimed to be wise. Some people think that God's word is for simpletons. You know, they devise their own body of so-called truth that's contrary to Scripture, and they call it wisdom, and they come across as being so intellectual. God says, well, they claim to be wise, but they've become fools. He's talking about people who understood Holy Scripture, who understood the truth, but didn't like what they understood because it condemned the sins that they enjoyed too much to give up. So rather than giving up the sin, they decided to make up their own truth, which is sort of like hopping on the trolley in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and fleeing to the land of make-believe, only the consequences are much worse. 23. And exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Well, if you're gonna change truth, then you have to change gods also. The problem is there's just one God. One real God, and he's the God of truth. He's the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who has given us the Holy Bible, his book. 24. Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. God lets people go their own sinful way. If that's what they really want, he honors our free will. 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. You know, if one doesn't worship the God of the Bible, then whatever they worship is going to be a lie. 26. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves due penalty for their perversion. This is not a Christian country. Never has been. A person can believe in God however they want to, or they don't have to believe in God at all. And that's the way it should be. And people should have the free will. So if people want to live a homosexual lifestyle, you know what? God's going to let them. But God in his word says that it is indecent, and it is shameful, and it is unnatural. You can choose to believe what you want to believe, but that's what Scripture says, and no one can change that. You can deny it, but that truth, that homosexual activity, is shameful. That's not going away, because it's truth. 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. Depravity. You know what depravity is? It is rejecting God's word. Depravity is loving one's sin so much that they dare to call good what God calls evil. That's depravity. 29. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. And notice some of the things which God labels depravity. He begins to list them in the last part of verse 29. Here it is. They are full of envy. That's depravity. Murder, depravity. Strife, deceit, malice, gossips. That's depravity. It's hitting close to home, isn't it? Slanderers? You ever say something bad about somebody when you knew it wasn't true? Slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful? You know, that's looked at as being self-promotion today. God says it's depravity. Boastful, they invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Disobedience to parents, that's depravity. It's not cute. I get so sick and tired of these modern sitcoms, and I don't watch them, but every once in a while I'll catch a promo for one. And it's some, inevitably, it is some smart alecky kid who thinks he knows it all, talking back to his dad, or making his mom or dad look like an idiot. That's what's promoted for entertainment. Hollywood is promoting depravity. Disobeying their parents, they're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And so that pretty much covers the entire human race, doesn't it? I would say that everyone at some point has been guilty of one or more of these sins. You know what the good news is? Good news is God still loves us. He loved us enough to become a man and die a horrible death to pay for our sins. And he will gladly forgive if we will only repent, confess, and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 32. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And that's the thing that seals a sinner's doom. Sinners don't go to hell simply because they sin. Well, if that was the case, no one would be saved, because we all sin. People go to hell because they love their sin too much to turn away from it and receive mercy from God through the Savior Jesus Christ. That's why they go to hell. If you have any questions for me, comments for me, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. If you would rather email me, I know that's easier for some people, you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. Your questions, your comments, they are always welcome. If you want more of the Word of God, I have good news for you. The brand new Scripture Verse by Verse website is up and running. You can study the entire Bible online for free with my audio Bible commentaries, and that can be found at meret.org. Let me spell that for you. It's meurett.org. That's meurett.org. Please take advantage of this Scripture Verse by Verse website. Study the Word of God. It's the most important thing you can do. I'm with you Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. And so, until next time, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. Thank you for spending this time with me. Until next time, so long, everyone.